buy any stock in your friend Mervyn Fields' organization.
You finally got blown out of the water, totally.
You know, the son of a bitch, Bob, you know the Kennedy people, or the McGovern people, who are now Kennedy people, or now McGovern, were Kennedy, now McGovern, they bought him without any question. Jesus Christ, I mean, you can't be have McGovern 2-1 and then have him win by 7 or 8%. Huh?
Well, he was indicted, yes, sir, and he was indicted across the board. He picked that stupid Proposition 9 on the Environment Act and had that winning by 3-1, and we beat that one 2-1.
Did we beat that?
Yeah.
Thank God.
And, you know, I went out way out on the limb on that goddamn
thing. Thank God. Mm-hmm.
So, and it looks like Schmitz is going to squeak by.
Schmitz? Oh, did we have a candidate against him?
Yep.
Good.
But they,
I probably voted for him.
He put in, you know, you got a new one. You got Kara Bergner now.
Oh, good.
Okay. Who, of course, won handily. And we'll
yeah, that was pretty good, didn't you think? 90-10, wasn't it, or something?
Yeah, the only thing is they, of course, screwed up the McCloskey thing.
And he got in, huh?
He won rather handily, yeah.
Oh, I would expect that, though, Jesus Christ.
But it's interesting that, see, that whole issue on Schmitz down there was this assessor, this Hinshaw, against Schmitz was, do you support the president or don't you? And of course, they, Schmitz went out and played the Agnew. He had full-page pictures with he and Agnew and stuff like that to cope with this. But
why in the name of God did, why in the God and the hell did Agnew do that?
Well, we had Murray working with
I can't
Agnew to keep that
believe
alive.
That.
Well,
with Schmitz?
Yeah.
Oh, well, for Christ's sakes. That's terrible.
All right, just a small point, but I mean the point.
Yeah, well.
That here's a relative unknown against in that very conservative district who comes within 1,000 votes. And of course, the third candidate took about 2,000 votes. So you can see that the, overall, the anti-Schmitz votes among Republicans was greater than what Schmitz got.
Yeah. What do you attribute the fact that Humphrey closed the gap? You know, everybody was telling me, I didn't look at the debates, that McGovern came through cool and calm and everything, and that Humphrey looked old and tired and desperate. But maybe it began to get through that McGovern is a radical.
We didn't make that case as well as we'd like. But by God, the Catholics stayed with Humphrey, and that's an area we can exploit.
They stayed with Humphrey?
Yes, sir, from everything I can gather.
That's probably labor.
What's left of organized labor was there and did what they could, but it wasn't a hell of a lot. I mean, you know, the organization's a goddamn weak. The combination of the old coalition held to that extent. He lost more than he expected among the blacks, and the old folks just didn't get out as well as he'd hoped for, because that's where he was running best.
I know. When you figure though, Gavelha can't be 51-25 or whatever it was. And then end up 45-38. Is that what it was?
Right. But the stuff that's coming in now, of course, is closing that gap all the time, and it's going to be.
Oh, is it closing?
Yes, sir. It's now moved to 39-44.
I'll be damned.
And so I'm telling everybody here just to cool it for a while. Don't say anything until we see.
Yeah.
And the other thing that we big factor here, and that Angela Davis thing really had a hell of an impact.
And he was on the wrong side of that, wasn't he?
He sure was. But, I mean, when the Wallace write-in vote, of course, that was a terribly difficult thing for a person to write in.
Yeah.
It'll take him 2 days to get all of that, and that's going to be a hell of a lot higher than 8%. And also, I think it helped, frankly, to a certain extent, it helped Ashbrook. But
if Ashbrook, where he put all of his money and everything, it got only, what is it, 10% now, or what?
Yeah, at the most, it slipped now to 9. The last
but if he got that, Bob, that's minuscule, don't you think?
Sure, I'm not concerned about that.
Our people should say, Jesus, you can run a... You remember what happened. You remember Wardell. You remember Wardell?
Well, I'm going to do a couple of shows today and then a briefing tomorrow. I'm going to say, hell, 20% is what anybody who gets on the ballot usually gets in California.
Yeah.
So
anybody. You run a ring-tailed monkey.
But,
well, that's interesting.
Well,
it looks, your prognosis is now that McGovern still is going to be nominated, huh? Or do you think Humphrey can stop him? Is that really what it gets down to?
Right now, I'd have to say Humphrey can't stop him.
Do you think Teddy will move?
You know, we're trying to
it's close enough, 5%, yeah.
I don't think Kennedy can come back in because McGovern has got it. He's got the heady success,
yeah.
He can't. Those people can't turn around that fast. So to that extent, I think Teddy is preempted.
Can McGovern clean himself up? Goldwater tried the same thing, but Goldwater had the media against him. McGovern will have the media with him.
That's right. And I don't, I wouldn't say this to anybody else. My argument is that the people who say, well, this is a Goldwater syndrome, I don't buy that at all. By God, Goldwater got pretty close to 90% of the Republican votes. McGovern is smart enough in putting things together to if he can get 60% of his Democratic votes, he's going to be goddamn tough.
Sure.
And I don't care. The candidates will run from the incumbent congressman will run like hell to not be seen on the platform with him. But McGovern didn't fight his way up through South Dakota and so on without keeping his people together. And even though he didn't handle it too well, the idea of his moving to that governor's thing was fairly smart. I mean, to a little class. So I don't underestimate the son of a bitch. And I'm disappointed that Humphrey didn't paint him further into the corner where he should have been. He really didn't do that in the debates. And he had everything in hand to do it with.
I would only suggest that, however, I think that the meanies and the others that are so violently anti-McGovern will take heart from the fact that Humphrey did as well as he did in California. I mean, if it had been a landslide, it would have been all over.
That's right. No question about it. And he would have had a hell of a lot of momentum. The only other thing I mentioned this morning when we were talking to John and Clark and the others, and I feel very strongly about this, the press, of course, having a little orgy and so on, is we've gotten out to whether we do it in the context of the SALT debates or whatever else, move quickly, and maybe they were going to take some appropriate action on your part. We had so much coming off that Russian trip, we can't let this goddamn thing cut across that to too great an extent. We got to keep talking hard about the great accomplishments of that, and I mean all the aspects of it, so that's sustained and not cut into any more than these guys playing with the McGovern thing. That troubles me a little bit. I haven't figured out quite how to cope with it, other than all of us who are surrogates have to keep pounding away at, by God, all the great accomplishments that meant.
Yeah. It'll be hard, however, to keep. We can do it at local levels, but nationally, the press has got to play the fight, don't they? The fight for McGovern and the Democratic Convention. That'll be our problem through the 15th of July. But I think. Looking at today's results, I think McGovern lost some momentum. Good God, in New Mexico for Wallace to get to.
Right. And if Wallace continues to do as well on the right end, of course, they say that would take another 48 hours before they can count all those damn things, he'll still be fairly close, to even with a million votes plus that McGovern has, because Wallace was ahead of him by a million votes in terms of all the popular votes cast. It's still going to be nip and tuck. Now we can play those kind of games too, as to who got more popular votes in all the Democratic primaries, and have to keep banging home points like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the write-in, I understand, was terribly difficult too.
Oh Jesus, you had to go through the reason I mentioned that Angela Davis thing is that they had floods of calls that came in after that, the particular shots of all those jurors celebrating that night at a big party, all of them drunk.
And one of them held up a closed fist, I understand.
Yeah, celebrating with Angela Davis at a nightclub. It wasn't just at the courtroom or courthouse. It was they all went to the party later on. Of course, that goddamn woman foreman of the jury was obviously already bought and paid for, and she just hand-tooled that jury until hell wouldn't have it.
But who is she, incidentally?
We're trying to find out.
And how in the world would our prosecutor let somebody like... Well, anyway, must have been a lousy prosecutor.
The after effect of that was just profound. They were inundated with calls as to how they could write in for Wallace. So that's had its impact. And then that direct work call where they call in, and it's proved to be remarkably accurate. Only one that called my victory, for example, just in place of the call in. Christ, Wallace was running neck and neck with McGovern in that thing. And
is that right? If he'd been on the ballot, he probably got 25-30%.
At least, in my opinion.
Isn't that something? But the Angela Davis thing, in a way, it's the best of both worlds, though, Bob.
Yes,
for us
it is. Yeah.
I mean, we get the
Jesus
thing.
Christ, if she's been indicted,
they prove now that that you can have justice. And second, everybody knows she's guilty as hell.
Right, and mad about it. And of course, all her talk about political prisoners and all that bullshit is going to be knocked down to some extent. But marching in the streets and so on if she'd been indicted. So.
Yeah, I agree. It is important to try to maintain the positive business on our own side. We know from long experience, though, it's terribly difficult to do, isn't it? Terribly difficult. But we have more going for us now than we did after China, because basically we have China and Russia together. We have the agreements. We have, you know, it's really a profound change in the world situation. It's something that people can, and the whole line should be, they say, what's the big issue? Well, don't say, well, it's the environment or busing or all this crap or welfare. The big issue is, what man do you want to handle the problems of the world in the next 4 years? And goddamn, it's no contest on that.
That's right. And the thing is, people are terribly interested in what came out of that, and it was just so damn much substance. I spoke last week in California to two or three groups. When you start talking about the jobs that come out of that joint space shot,
sure,
and you talk about the environment, so goddamn much more was done just on the environment alone that'll ever come out of this silly Stockholm conference, for example.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
that's a nothing thing.
It's just that kind of stuff can be pointed to as really solid accomplishment, and it's
right.
Well received.
Right.
So I think we just beef up our speakers in every club and so on, keep banging away at that. I think for a while we can let the Democrats keep chewing at each other. We don't have
that. But I think that the two issues just get across the one theme, the great issue of 19. You remember the same thing we used in 52 with Eisenhower. The great issue in 1972 is we come into 4 years when the world will be changing and when the whole peace of the world, building a real peace, is we have our greatest opportunity. Who's best qualified to do it? You know,
yes,
and good God, McGovern isn't even in the league there, you know.
Right. Best qualified and the record of stewardship
accomplishment and knows all the world leaders, knows the communists, yet can deal with them and all that. They know. I think you could make a pretty fair pitch there.
Well, it's there, and we're trying to get the thing polished and out.
Well, it's a very interesting situation. How about the other congressional? What happens on the five new seats in California? Did they district those? Did that finally work out? I just didn't follow that. Or is it at large, or what happened?
No, sir. No, they carved them out on the basis of pretty much the Democratic plan, but on. We come out, it looks like, about 3-2. We pick up Berger.
Have a chance.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, you hold McCloskey, which was really a separate new seat.
McCloskey, of course, is capable of switching.
Capable, of course, he will. But I meant in terms of, I'm sure he'll vote to organize.
Yeah.
So we didn't come out too badly on that as far as that split is concerned. You know, they pretty much took care of their own, as always.
They took care of their own, but you figure we'll be about 3-2. How about our candidates for the Congress in California? Do we have decent candidates this time, or the usual? What would you say?
Well, they're pretty much the incumbents. We picked up Moorhead and Smith's seat, the one that I was considering, and at least he was slightly ahead, although McCall had come back and was running pretty strongly in that.
Who's going to be the nominee there?
It'll probably be Moorhead as of right now. Carlos Moorhead. He came up from the Assemblyman. He's a good conservative. He's not all that flashy, but he's
he'll
good,
do.
Rational conservative. And he'll be a good supporter of yours.
Mm-hmm. Are there any Democratic incumbents that could be knocked off there if we happen to get going?
Well, we haven't really got enough figures in yet.
What I meant is that take a fellow like Miller or some of those. Good God, he's 80 years old. You know, even I don't care what the district is. You know, there's a lot of incumbents are going down, Bob. A lot of incumbents are going down.
Well, with the
Ellender, McClellan,
yep.
Jordan, or Jordan's down. Ellender's probably going to lose. McClellan may lose. Now this is age. That's all.
Well, when we get the rest of the figures in, that goddamn judge in San Francisco that ordered those polls to stay open another 3 hours. That happened in Ohio too, and that just really throws things all out.
Oh, you mean you don't know what the results are, huh?
No, see, and when that San Francisco judge did that, then that goddamn Secretary of State, Pat Brown Jr., said, ordered all counting and all announcements to be held in all of the precincts. So we're running about 8 hours behind the usual cycle of getting returns.
So what they're now, what are they projecting in the very, they're projecting the, on our side, it's, they're still projecting, what, 90-10 or something like that?
Oh, yes. Or at night, and I think that
might even, yeah. If San Francisco should be a little better for us than the other places, if that's out, should it not?
That's,
I wouldn't think Ashbrook would be very hard there.
No, that's already in.
That's in, huh?
Yes, sir.
For San Francisco. Oh, I see. What about...
I haven't got San Diego and,
yeah,
and Orange. And
what about the situation in, on the McGovern-Humphrey thing? How do you think that's going to end up? 6 or 7 points between the two?
I think it'll be closer to five.
You do?
I think it'll be 45-40.
It's going to be that close. Why is it creeping up? Because the more conservative elements, the write-in ballots, is that it, Bob, or what?
It's the usual pattern. The more conservative districts are coming in now,
yeah,
slower.
Yeah.
And the machine count has already come in now. And mm-hmm. Humphrey will do stronger in San Diego because he hit the defense issue so hard.
Right, and in Los Angeles.
And in Los Angeles. And
even Orange
County, right. And that, and all that is not in yet. So that's got to help him,
mm-hmm,
according to very fragmentary stuff we have.
Well, what we, do, of course, want, we want McGovern to win it, don't we, between the two of them. But he will win it, but I mean...
Yeah, but close.
But we want it close so that there will be one hell of a fight.
That's right.
Because the Meany crowd is really organizing behind Humphrey, you know, between now and the convention. They're really, Meany, Daley, all that crowd. They're petrified at the point of at this moment on McGovern.
Right.
And while he can shift and affect voters, he can very cleverly. These old labor leaders and political leaders, you know, when a guy switches, that doesn't help them one damn bit. You know, they're too tough. Too tough. I think.
Well, they. Yeah, they're tough, but what they can deliver is smaller and smaller.
That's right.
I'm talking about the vote. I'm not talking about the dollar.
No, I was thinking though in terms of delegates.
Oh, yes.
At the convention, I don't know. I think in terms of votes, it's nothing. I mean, it's but a few dollars. But at the convention, there will still be quite a few labor delegates, won't there, under the Democratic rules?
And those are the very ones that are going to be challenged, though. If you look at the Daley delegates, you look at some of the others.
Will they be challenged?
Oh, they're going to have more.
Won't that be fun?
That's going to be great. That's just going to be keen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's too bad we have to go to Miami rather than California, isn't it, for our convention?
Well, I think that's going to cure itself when you...
Yeah.
You kick it off from there.
The idea of the kickoff from there is going to be good, don't you think?
Yes, sir.
Will their hall be ready by then?
It's ready now. Of course, we won't, you know, the problem with air conditioning and a few other things.
Yeah.
But it's far different to do a single shot than it is to,
to
go through 3 days.
Yeah. Well, okay, Bob.
I think